All right, Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you'll please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, we're going to read responsively back and forth. You'll join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses. But we'll begin all together in verse 12, going through the end of the chapter, back and forth responsively, beginning together in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." So as we look at this, these things that God is speaking to us about through Moses, he's talking particularly to the children of Israel. But you understand that even though we're not Jewish, if you will, we're not Israelites, but we are chosen by God. God chose us, if you will. He knew from the beginning of the world that we would choose him. And so God has given salvation. He's availed it to every man. He wants all to be saved, and he wants all to come to repentance. But God knows who would and who would not accept his son and his gift of eternal life. And he knew that we would do such. And now we, because of Jesus, because of trusting in Christ, are his people. We're his. We belong to him. I love that hymn. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. And you understand that because of salvation, we have new life in Christ. We have a purpose for life. We have a reason to live. We have a reason to shine. We have a reason to spread forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Christ saved us, so we want him to save others as well. And that should just permeate out of us and get into other people and into their lives, so that the gospel can continue and the kingdom of God can grow. So we, as God's people, as he speaks to us, as he says these things, we are to fear the Lord thy God. We're to reverence him. We're to respect him. We ought to care that our sin is against him. That should bother you. That your sin is against the Savior who died for you. That your sin is in direct violation to what God says we are to do or not to do. We ought to care about that. It ought to bother us. And you know, I've often said, if we really, now I say we because I'm in this with y'all. If we really feared God, we wouldn't sin. I mean, I fear the stovetop. Okay, I'm not stupid. I know that if I place my hand on that, it's going to possibly be burned. Especially when the little light indicators, you know, surface hot. Okay? You understand? I mean, come on. We teach our children that, right? Don't touch that. You know, they get around an outlet. We put those little plastic thingies in there, you know, to keep them from getting shocked, you know, getting a new hairstyle every time they put their finger in there. We do those things. But yet we don't feel the same way about lying and the immoral thoughts and stealing, dishonesty. But why? Aren't those bad? I mean, so we've got to think about this. He says, these things doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God. Let me ask you a question. If we increase our fear of God in our life, is that going to be a benefit or a detriment to us? Okay, benefit. So I'm not asking you to do anything out of the ordinary, am I? I'm not asking you to do anything that's going to impose on your life. It's going to make it better. It's going to improve the quality of life that you have, especially as it comes to a relationship with God. How about this one? To walk in all His ways. Now again, we've talked about these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But once again, who better to follow in the ways of life than God? Can anyone think of a better example? Can anyone think of a better way to walk in life? A better path of life to follow than God's path and God's ways? How many of you think that's a pretty safe positive right there? Absolutely. You say, but I've got my own ways. Okay? The Bible tells us the ways of man lead to destruction. They lead to sorrow. They lead to misery. Don't follow your own ways. By the way, I hate it. So please don't do this as a parent or a grandparent. Don't ever look at your kid and tell them, just follow your heart. Don't do that. Please don't. Please, I beg you, don't do that. Don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. Follow His ways. Actually, how about this? Follow and walk in all His ways. These are requirements that God has for us. Then last week we talked about this one. And to love Him. To love Him. Oh boy. I mean, I could have really preached another message today on that particular idea. To love Him. Folks, we need to grow in our love for Him. We need to go and just saturate in 1 John chapter 4 and look at the love of God toward us, so that the love that we have toward God gets to be more and more in our lives. I mean, His love for us is unmatched. It's unparalleled. We could probably never reproduce the love that God has toward us, but we ought to try. We ought to try. And our love for Him ought to increase day by day. Another good hymn, More Love to Thee. Remember, one of my mentors, Dr. Bob Smith, always used to say if he could only have two books, he'd like his old King James Bible and a hymn book. Those hymns have some great truths in them. We ought to long for a relationship with God. Our love for Him ought to be greater than any other love that we display in any other relationship. He says it's a requirement to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him. And now let's look at the one for today, this next requirement. He says in the last part of this verse, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
and with all thy soul.
So just very quickly, the word serve, in a literal sense, means to work for. To bestow labor, the labor of the body and the mind, in the employment of another. Okay, that's the word serve, just in a general sense. All right? You say, but is God our boss? Well, kinda. I mean, what's he paying us? Huh? What are my wages? Do I have a 401k? What benefit package comes with that? Okay? No, not in that sense. But can anybody think of anything better of a supreme being than to serve him? I mean, wouldn't he be above all others? He said, but I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I don't serve anybody. Can I tell you something? You're always going to serve somebody. He said, but I'm an entrepreneur. I'm my own boss. Well, but you still serve somebody. You understand that this is an idea, if you will, in the literal sense. But we know that in Scripture and in theology, serve means to obey and worship. In other words, God says, do this, and I say, yes, sir. That's what it means to serve God. God says, don't do this. I say, yes, sir, and I don't do that. That's what it means to serve God. It also means to worship God. To act in conformity to the law of God. To treat God with due reverence. To be subservient and subordinate to God. To serve God, as it says here, as a requirement, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. There's that little word again. All. What does it mean to be subordinate? What does it mean to be subservient? What does it mean to surrender ourselves to another? It means that they have control and we don't. Isn't that what it means? It's what it means. And that's what it means to serve God. Giving God the control of our lives. Does God have control in all of your life? Or just some of your life? You say, God, I've given you control of this, and I've given you control of this, and because we kind of compartmentalize ourselves, don't we? But God, I'm going to keep this one for me to control, and I'm going to control this in my life, but you can have this and this and this and this. Let me ask you a question. Are you serving God with all, if that's the case? No, you're serving God with some. Does it say that the requirement is to serve the Lord thy God with some of thy heart and with some of thy soul? No. It says with all. You see, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're talking about requirements. We're talking about serving God. We're talking about being submissive. We're talking about being subservient. We're talking about being subordinate. We're talking about conformity, obedience, and true worship and reverence of Almighty God. Look at verse 15 of chapter 4 here in Deuteronomy. It says this, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure in the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of any thing that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them, and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over this Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Look at, skip over to verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he hath made with you, and make you graven an image, or the likeness of anything, which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. What is the thing that humankind seems to want to do? What do they gravitate toward? Things that they can see? I mean, think about all the different religions out there. Think about all the different groups of so-called spiritual people or religious people. What do a lot of them have? Images. Little idols, right? Or big idols. Statues. Ideas. And what do they represent? The things that are talked about right here. Whether it be man or beast or creeping thing or birds or fish or whatever. And what do they want to do? They want to bow down and worship those things. Even the sun, the moon, the stars are worshipped in different cultures and different groups. Instead of what? God. The one that created all of those things. I don't need to take you back to Genesis, do I? In the beginning, God. That should be enough. We don't even need the rest. Just those, that first part. In the beginning, God. God is the one to be served. God is the one to be reverenced. God is the one to be worshipped, not the creation. We're to serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. One chapter over, look at chapter 5 and verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. What does he liken serving other gods to? Hating him. Well, gee, it seems like I remember that somewhere in Scripture, don't you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's a principle. You cannot. Over here in Deuteronomy 5, isn't that what God says? He says here, you're supposed to love me, you're supposed to serve me, you're not supposed to have any other gods before me, or any other graven image, you're not supposed to bow down to them or serve them. He said, if you do that, you hate me. Folks, I don't think that we truly and rightfully equivalent serving other gods as hating our God. But God does. But God does. You say, Pastor, we're a good church. We're good Christians. We don't serve other gods. We don't have any other little images that we bow to at home. Are you sure? Get out your calendar. Mark off a week's time. Get one that has little hour slots on it. And then calculate the time you spend for this, 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 and this. And see where God ends up on that list. Get your pocketbook out. And all the income that you have. And see where this money goes and that money goes and this money goes and that money goes. And then compile the list and put it in order and see where God ends up on that list. You see, that's kind of severe. Is it? Is it really? If we're supposed to serve God with all, and if we don't serve God and we serve other gods, where does that leave us? Folks, I'm not making these things up. This is Scripture. It says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. It either is that way or it's not. It either is that way for us, or it's not that way for us. You see, what kind of examples do we have? Go to Joshua 24. I love what Joshua says here. Toward the end of his life, you're familiar with the famous verse of, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? As Joshua goes, everybody loves that verse. I love it when I go to somebody's home and they have that verse on their front door. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. But I want you to look at the whole of it. Look at verse 14. Joshua's speaking here. He's talking to these people that he's led into the promised land, and they're dividing unto them the inheritance that God had given to them. And in verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord. Did you notice here that as we're going through this, I need to say this before I move on, that these first three things, to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all His ways and to love Him, that all of these first three are incorporated in this fourth one. Isn't that interesting? Oh yes, we ought to fear God. We ought to reverence Him. And yes, we ought to walk in all His ways, and that's important. And we ought to love Him. And then we're supposed to serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Those first three are incorporated in serving Him. They're part of serving Him. So Joshua goes on and he says this, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Okay, that's a very, very definite statement, is it not? He said, put away these other things. The gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood, the gods that your fathers served in Egypt, these things keep coming back into their lives. They keep creeping back in. And he says, put them away and serve ye the Lord. He goes on and says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. So, all throughout Scripture we see this battle, this conflict. Over in Romans, and we're not going to go there today. Over in Romans, Paul talks about this. How we're going to serve someone, folks. That's our nature as human beings to do that. But are we going to serve the flesh? Are we going to serve this world? And I even hate to say this, but are we going to serve the devil? Are we going to serve God? Well, who and what? We're going to serve. He says, Joshua says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You say, all right, Israel, way to go. Good job. You made the right choice. That's positive. It is. And don't you think that Joshua, the leader, the chosen leader, God's chosen leader for his people, would be just elated and delighted about their choice to serve God? Right? And he'd go around patting them all on the back and saying, congratulations, you made the right decision, you made the right choice. Right? Everybody think that's a good encouraging way to lead a people, right? Have you read what he says next? I love his response. Look at it. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way therein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Hooray for Israel, right? Good answer. Good choice. I mean, they got some good foundations and thoughtfulness and principle in their response, don't they? And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. He said, you can't do it. You can't do it, people. You can't serve God. He's holy. He's jealous. He's a righteous judge. Look at verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Folks, God is those things. But he also is merciful, gracious. His loving kindness endureth to all generations. We understand that. But what is Joshua trying to get them to understand? Back to the first one, the fear of the Lord. Walking in all his ways. Truly and sincerely loving him. So that yes, we will serve him. And he said, Joshua, we know those things are true. We know that he will execute judgment upon us. And in righteousness and in truth. But we will serve God. And guess what? They did. They did for a good amount of time. But what did happen? After those that overlived Joshua had departed off the scene, we get into the book of Judges and we get into the place where they forsook God. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Folks, I'm just saying today that I hope you're understanding these examples. And I hope you're understanding that if it were left to us, we cannot serve Him. We won't serve Him. Because our human nature will prevent us from doing so. I think I will read Romans chapter 7 to you. If I can find it. It's here somewhere. There it is. Paul says this, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what does Paul say? He says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, hey, if we're carnal, if we're the natural man, we're not going to serve God. We're going to follow after those lusts, and we're going to be consumed. The judgment of God will be upon us. Do you understand why this is a requirement that God set up? God says, you need to fear me. You need to walk in all my ways. You need to love me. And you need to serve me with all your heart and with all your soul. Does he give us these requirements to be a punishment to us? Does he give us these requirements to put us in bondage? No. He gives us these requirements to bless us, to free us from bondage, to give us liberty in Him. You see, how is it possible that I can do this? Serve the Lord God, the Lord my God, with all my heart and with all my soul. Well, in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. See, how do I succeed in this, Pastor? What is one of the definitions of the word serve? Become submissive. Subservient. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You say, God, I'm here to serve you. What did the people of Israel decide to do? They told Joshua, Joshua, we understand that God is a righteous judge. We understand that, but we will serve Him. Is God going to make us do these things? Fear Him? Walk in all His ways? Love Him? Serve Him with all of our heart? No, He's not going to make us. He wants us to do what? Present ourselves. Yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Not yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Guess what? You and I have a choice. Hey, you're going to serve somebody. To whom are you going to present yourself? Are you going to present yourself to God as we should? Or are we going to present ourselves to our own flesh? To the world, to the devil, to whatever else, to other gods, and serve them. It's all about what we decide, isn't it? We have the choice. Hey, listen, you say, well, I don't understand all this. There's got to be a time, if you're born again in here, there's a time where you understood that your sin was taking you to a place called hell. You understood that your sin was against the holy, holy, holy God. And you presented yourself to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, save me. Was that so difficult? That's salvation, folks. That's being born again. You say, but it's so hard today to not serve these other gods and not present myself as being submissive and subservient to other gods. Is it really that hard? We just have to choose to do it, is all I'm trying to say. We just need to get, oh, hey, the scripture says it's our what? Oh, it's a reasonable service. It's really not that difficult at all, is it? It's a choice. We need to make the right choice. Jesus made the right choice. The devil presented him with all the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give all these to you if you'll fall down and worship me. He said, Pastor, you can't use Jesus as an example. Why? Because he's God. So, the Bible says he's our example. Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Folks, we have a whole book full of scriptures given to us, encouraging us, showing us, admonishing us to only serve the Lord our God. The question is, will we? Will we? Will we choose to present ourselves to him as a servant of the Most High God? It's our choice. And may I say, as far as concluding this idea, I hope that you have already chosen to submit yourselves to him for salvation. If not, today could be the day of salvation for you. But if you have been born again, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, on a day-to-day basis, are you going to choose to serve the Lord your God? Did you notice that in Scripture, in Deuteronomy, and in Joshua, and later on, we could go to Nehemiah, we could go to Psalms, we could go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. There were ebbs and flows of time where the people of God rose up to serve God. They did for a while, and then they forgot God and fell back into serving other gods. And can I say, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not much different. There are times when we're gung-ho. No, Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord our God. And there are times we forget God and go a-whoring, the Bible calls it, after other gods. It's a requirement. It's something we must choose. So may I just quote Joshua and just say, choose you this day whom ye will serve. We need people of God to stand up and be like Joshua and said, we will serve him. We need to be like the people and say, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. It's our reasonable service. It's a requirement that God asks of us to serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul.